Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is. Oh, thank you, everybody, for being here. If I can get this out, right. Okay. Thanks for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show, tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am live. This is live. You're listening live, but you don't have to always listen live. You can always listen to this show at your convenience. At your convenience. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago, state of Illinois, and it's beautiful outside. It feels like spring. It actually feels like spring. However, it's still winter. This is March 9th. It feels exactly like winter. And I want to thank everybody for out there tuning in, listening, archiving the show, downloading it. I want to thank you for your nice feedbacks to the show and things that I write and even some of the negative things. I still want to appreciate you. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live out of Chicago, if I can say that again. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. We're going to take up where we left off yesterday, talking about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, and some other things that's in the news. We're going to talk about Donald Trump because everybody else is talking about him. So I want to talk about him. And it's fascinating how the Republican establishment spent so much money to destroy Donald Trump. I think it was $8.6 million to destroy this guy, including having Mitt Romney come out there and blast and bash Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, in the end, wind up winning three states. Three states. So their backlash didn't do anything. I mean, the Republican establishment, they do not want Donald Trump. A lot of them don't even think Donald Trump is conservative enough. A lot of them don't even actually think Donald Trump is actual Republican, because there was a clip that they played on TV during some of these campaigns, and where Donald Trump himself, coming out of Donald Trump's mouth, and I quote, he's saying, "I identify myself as a Democrat." This was not long ago, because he was also at a wedding of Bill and Hillary Clinton or something to that effect. But he was there because there's a photograph showing them all together at some sort of a wedding. And, you know, so this guy, I don't know. A lot of us progressive independents and Democrats feel that Donald Trump is a lot safer being president of the United States than Ted Cruz. I agree. I think Ted Cruz is one of the dangerous guys that could ever, and you're talking about a liar. He is a liar, but Donald Trump also lies. He's been caught in a few himself. But if you wanted to compare Donald Trump to Ted Cruz in the Oval Office, it will totally have to be, for me, Donald Trump, even though Don't get me wrong, folks. Even though I would not vote for either one, I don't think either one is fit. But if there was going to be one, it would be Donald Trump. I'm more, if you've been listening to the show, then you know that I'm basically a Bernie Sanders guy. I feel the burn. You know, I think Bernie Sanders surprised Clinton. That's no doubt about that. She won Michigan, but she also thought she was going to win. I mean, she won Mississippi, but she always thought she was going to win Michigan. And Bernie won that, took that state in a landslide. And, you know, Hillary's trying to play it off. Oh, I knew it was going to be tough. I knew it wasn't going to be easy. Oh, she thought it was going to be a cakewalk. Give me a break. She thought that from the beginning, when Bernie Sanders entered the race, she felt this was going to be a cakewalk. And then when she found out that it was not going to be a cakewalk, it was not going to be so easy, she was playing it off as, well, I knew it was going to be tough. I knew it was going to be close. No, she didn't. Believe me, no, she didn't. And Bill Clinton is out there campaigning for his wife, Hillary, and he looks like he should be in a hospital bed somewhere. You know, he looks sick. He doesn't look like he should be out there doing that. I'm pretty sure he's probably got the permission from his doctors to be on the campaign trail, but he looks very, very sick. He's not, I don't know, he doesn't speak clearly, and he's a liar too. So they want to get back into the White House. But Bernie Sanders won decisively over Hillary Clinton in Michigan. Why? Because of these disastrous trade bills, NAFTA, TPP, that has been taking away jobs from that state. Factories have closed down because jobs have gone overseas because of these disastrous trade deals. And Sanders pounded that home, and the people of Michigan felt it. And they voted for him. They were tired of their jobs leaving their states, going overseas. And Clinton voted for these disastrous trade bills, according to Bernie Sanders. There's no doubt about it. She was for TPP because Obama was for it. These are disastrous trade bills. Jobs are leaving the United States because of these disastrous trade bills that our politicians, we vote in the office, they support. Obama supports TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's nothing but a giveaway to jobs. Folks, our jobs are leaving, going to China. They're going to Mexico. They're going to Vietnam because companies do not want to pay taxes. They want to get rich, 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 and they want to get rich, 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 rich off of cheap labor. If you're making $20 an hour working at that factory plant, one day that factory plant is not going to be there. It's going to be shipped overseas to Vietnam, where the people are making 50 cents an hour. Now, you compare 50 cents an hour to your $20 an hour, and they don't have a union. There's no union. There's no protection. And these people work their asses off. Most of them are children. You can almost unfair labor practices with some of these companies when they go overseas. They don't care. It's about money. It's about cash. It's about money. And Bernie Sanders is correct. I don't trust Hillary Clinton. A lot of people will say, well, don't bash Hillary. Do not bash Hillary. She's bashing my man. She's bashing and attacking Bernie Sanders. Of course I'm going to bash her. Obviously, if she gets the nomination to be president of the United States, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for her because she's, I don't know, I would hope that she would be better than a Republican. But you know what? A lot of these politicians, they run for office, they beg you for your vote. Then once you vote for them and their asses are in office, they become bought and paid for. They don't listen to you. They don't care about your thoughts or what you're thinking. They won't share any of your ideas. They're just off on their own. They just go rogue. They go on off on their own. They become bought and paid for. They become puppets to the lobbyists the donors, Wall Street. But Bernie beat her ass. What else? I don't know any other way to say that. He beat her ass. He beat her ass good in Michigan. But still in all, Hillary has an edge over Bernie. But that tells you a lot about polls. The polls had Bernie down 30 to whatever Hillary was, and he came up. People did not like, do not like their jobs being shipped overseas. Obama and his TPP, I mean, when I first heard of it and read about it and understood it and found out that there were so many people against it and the reason why, Obama is still for it. He's still defending it. How can you defend taking someone's job that they've worked there for 15, 20 years and shipping it overseas for cheap labor and so that the company itself will get out of paying taxes? That's wrong. And then you talk to these people about it, and they spin it, or they try to spin it in another way, try to make it seem like, hey, it's beneficial to you. How can it be beneficial when we're now out of work? Because you, the politician that I voted for, you let me down and sit my job overseas. Now I have no job. I'm getting ready to go and stand in the unemployment line while you still picking up a paycheck. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This is the talk of our times. The talk of our, you know, I call it the talk of our times because that's what it is. I try to make this show as vibrant, as fun as possible, especially with the guests. I've had some great guests on the show. Thank you. Thank you all. You know who you are. Thank you. You know who you are. And it's just one of those times, folks, where you got to really come out and say, enough is enough. Things are happening. Things are everywhere. Enough is enough. Now, somebody has to have a voice out there and say, hey, wow, enough is enough. And, you know, this is your show, my show. And this is the talk of our times. And I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. All right, folks, we've got some races going on here in Illinois. We've got Ken Duncan, and we've got, I think, someone named Stratton. Let me see if I can get her name. Yes. Stratton. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter who they run against this guy. They just got to run somebody against this guy. He is a bought-off Republican. Voting Republican, and he's running as a Democrat. I mean, there's all kinds of campaign literature on television and in your mailboxes telling you a lot of negative things about Ken Duncan. And from what I've seen of the guy and heard him speak, all of this stuff is true. He's bought and paid for by a Republican governor to vote the other way, and that's what he does. And what cracks me up about Tim Duncan is he gets on television and tries to defend this. His job is to do what his constituency wants him to do, and they want him to vote against everything that is Bruce Rauner, because that's his job. That's why they voted him in there. That's why they gave him his job. But he votes where the money is. He's bought and paid for. He votes against Democratic values, if I can say it. He votes against Democratic values. He sides with the Republicans, and he's a turncoat Democrat. And I think his ass should be voted out. He's a weird-looking guy. He probably doesn't have a high school education. He's crazy. I mean, there's all kind of things on him on the internet and on television saying that he's a woman, saying that he doesn't pay child support or something like that. He treats women badly. These are all of this stuff is coming out over the internet and in campaign commercials. So, but generally, I want the guy out because he votes against the needs of his constituency. He votes against the needs of the people in his district. Clown. He votes with the enemy. He votes with the guy who is tearing this state apart. So I can't vote for him because I'm not in his district, okay? But I'm hoping a lot of people out there who are in his district vote his ass completely out. And that would send a message to a lot of other Democrats in the state legislature that if they don't vote the way their constituency votes, if those politicians do not listen to the voices of this constituency, or they go against this constituency, or they turn their backs on the people in their district and vote with the other side, they will have their asses thrown out too. So this will send a big message. But we just hope that they can do the right thing and get this guy out. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. 347-857-1762. It's been a hell of a day, folks. Stay with me. you know, sometimes you have those crazy days and it just happens. And as now I'm trying to pull my way through this show, I'm not feeling great, as you can probably tell. But I'm gonna do the best I can do for what I can do. We're gonna be talking about how to get book reviews. We're going to be talking about elder abuse on this show, and anything else come up on this show, we're going to be talking about it. We're going to try to get through it. 347-857-1762 is my number. If you want to call, then if you do not, just sit back, relax, and archive the show for later. I know a lot of people are doing other things, and they can always archive this show for later. And it's been telling. You guys have been downloading the show. You guys have been listening to the show. You have been archiving the show, and that's wonderful. That's great. I can always tell that. And so can Block Talk Radio. Okay, we're going to do elder abuse. I've just self-published a short story, maybe 40 or 50 pages, on elder abuse. It's a story because I am a storyteller, and it's right now available on Amazon.com. So go check that out. It's called Elder Abuse and the Old Man. I just recently published it, and I'm very proud of it. You know what? I'm proud of everything I do. I'm proud of it. And I'm pretty sure you'll find it riveting. I've already had a negative complaint about it. It's something when you get negative complaints about your work, and this person or persons who are doing these complainings have not seen it, have not read it. I mean, they don't even know where to get it. But yet, you put it out there, it must be crap. How can you say that if you haven't read it, you haven't seen it, I haven't even told you about it? Do you know there's people out there that does it? So I got a negative complaint on it, but I push it aside. Because this person has not even read the story, has not even read it. the only thing this person knows that it's coming from me, so it must be junk. So, but it's not junk. I mean, I labored my ass off on that story, and it's pretty good. It's pretty decent. So you can find you'll find it. It's called the Elder Abuse and the Old Man. My favorite character, Mason Featherstone, Elder Abuse and the Old Man. You can find it on Amazon.com. Just put my name up there, George Wilder Jr. Elder Abuse and the Old Man. It's right there along with some other books, stories, and essays that I've written. I love to write. I love to write. Right now, I'm working on writing that I'm entitling "The Writer in Me." Because I write so much, I write all the time. I might as well write about writing. That's what I want to do. It's about writing, and it should be available maybe in a few months. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. We're going to be doing elder abuse, and we're going to be doing We're going to be doing elder abuse, and we're going to be doing how to get book reviews on Amazon.com. Because a lot of us, we are writers, we are authors. And it's so damn hard to get one damn review sometimes, a book review. You got to twist people's – you got to twist them, twist their necks or something to get them to write a review. But, you know, a lot of people will download my books and in droves – especially if it's free, and will not leave a review. You know, will not leave a review. But I'm asking people, if you're going to download anything that I do, whether it's free or there's a price there, leave a review. Simply, I like it will suffice. Oh, I just saw George's books. I read some of it. Oh, I like it. You know, put a review there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to get a review on Amazon.com. So if you're an author or writer, you stay tuned for that, all right? How to get a review on Amazon.com. I will be right back. Stay with me, folks.
Interview with our ebook experts, Amy Harrop and Debbie Drum. They talk about how to get reviews for your ebook, which is your first step in your marketing efforts. If you missed our first interview on creation of ebooks, you can find it on writeforkids.org.
So Debbie and Amy, we've got our ebook, we've created it, we've uploaded it onto Amazon. What's our first step toward marketing our brand new ebook?
First of all, I want to say thank you for having us here. I forgot to kind of do that, but
sure.
We love doing these interviews, so thanks again for having us.
Mm-hmm.
And so one, you know, big strategy that you should do before you even spend, you know, one penny marketing your book is to get reviews. And, you know, we always tell people this, and you want to kind of think of, you know, what do you do when you go to Amazon to go and purchase a product, or anywhere for that matter, your eyes just naturally glance over the star ratings and how many reviews the product has. Like, that's like almost like the modern day natural instinct that people have when they buy almost anything. What are other people saying? You know, restaurants, we go to Yelp, and we just want to hear what the feedback is before we invest any time or money into anything that we're buying. So that is what people are doing when they're buying books. They're seeing, hey, you know, what are other people saying? Good, bad, or indifferent. And a lot of times what people think, because they see, you know, other books, they see like, oh, this book has 100 reviews, this book has 250 reviews. Oh my gosh, I have to go out and get all these reviews. Well, that's not what you have to do at all. Your strategy in the very beginning or goal should be like, let me get 3 reviews. So not this gigantic number of 100 reviews. Oh my gosh, I can't market my book until I get 100 reviews. No, it doesn't have to be that complicated. So that's number one. You don't need a million reviews. Go out, have a target, 2 to 5 reviews, start there, and then as you progress, then you'll naturally just get more reviews. So, you know, the first way and easiest way to do that is really the good old-fashioned asking people that you already know to review your book. This is probably the easiest way. You know, call up 5 friends, call up your mom, call up your dad. Now, this is a good starting point, but we have to proceed with caution because Amazon has gotten smart to all these, you know, little tricks that publishers and authors and writers are kind of, you know, playing, you know. So it's not something that you want to use every single time you publish a book because Amazon will get wise to this. And a couple of ways they are already getting wise to this is, okay, if you've never reviewed a book before, then they're not going to allow that review to be published. So if you're asking somebody to review a book, make sure that they've bought other books and reviewed other books in the past so that they have more of a chance to getting that review up and published, okay? And again, this strategy is not to be, you know, used every single time. This is just one way to get your foot in the door and get started. So you don't want to be asking the same exact people every single time. So that's not what you want to do. So, you know, friends and family, great place to start. But as we get into it, there's more great strategies. And next, Amy is going to talk about another strategy that we used recently that worked out really, really well in getting a lot of exposure and getting those initial reviews on brand new books.
Right. So when you kind of you're thinking about this book review strategy, I'm going to jump in here with some other strategies that we've used. You have that kind of broad base of just people you know. They may not be interested in that book so much, but then you want to start moving up, and you might want to be thinking a little bit, you know, like a pyramid where you have the kind of broader people, and then you want to start narrowing it down. And now we want to start tapping into people who may be interested in that particular book or topic. So, you know, if you have a children's book, people who buy children's books for their, you know, for their kids. And one of the best ways to do this is actually to give away your book for free and to run giveaways. And this is a really powerful way to get targeted reviews for your book. And you can do some limited giveaways on Amazon if you're in the KDP Select program, and Debbie's going to talk a little bit more about that in terms of leveraging that. But there are 2 other sites that you can use that work really well for getting the attention of readers because they're sites that are geared toward readers. The first site is called LibraryThing.com, and it's just like it sounds, LibraryThing.com. And it's a very popular site for readers. It's a social site. You can go on there and you can review books and discuss books. Unfortunately, the layout of the site isn't the best. It's a little confusing, but it is a popular site. It's a little just chaotic to have a lot of stuff on there. But as a member, it's very easy to sign up. Once you've signed up and you either have to review a certain number of books or you just pay like a $2 fee, you actually can run giveaways for the other members. And you can give away electronic versions of your book, or you can give away physical versions, and you can give away up to 100 copies of your book. And Library Thing has it specifically set up where you can actually ask members to leave reviews, and you can ask them to leave reviews at Amazon, at other places you might have your book on Library Thing. So this is a great strategy because they make it easy for you. It's literally like a one-page form you fill out and you upload your book if you're giving it away electronically, and then they just run the giveaway, and it's just really, really easy to do. And as Deb mentioned, we did use this strategy on one of our books recently. And a second place that you can run giveaways is Goodreads.com, which is actually, I believe it's just been purchased by Amazon not too long ago. And Goodreads is probably the most popular social site and reading site for people who are interested in books. And most authors should probably be on Goodreads anyway, because you get the opportunity on there to fill out like a little social profile about you as an author, and they have a lot of other author tools. So if you're an author, you want to be hanging out on Goodreads. Now, they also have a giveaway where you can give away your book. The only caveat is you have to give away a physical copy. Now, you can set that up for free at Amazon's site, createspace.com. And you can give away a free book, and you don't even have to pay anything up front if you don't want to. You can just have them print out one copy at a time to do your giveaway. And then on Goodreads, they will also, again, leave you reviews either on Goodreads' site or on Amazon. So those are two sites that are geared specifically toward readers, and they make it easy for authors to run giveaways and make sure that their book is getting into the targeted hands of whoever their audience is, and then some of those people will leave a review. Now, of course, not everybody will, but you will have some of those people leave a review. So the power of giveaways is something that, you know, you can utilize and leverage and make sure to use that to get more reviews for your book.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Now, I have two questions related to what you just talked about. First of all, getting friends and family to do the initial reviews, obviously that's a great idea because they'll be happy to do it for you. But when you go on Amazon and you see three reviews of a new book that's just been put up there, I always kind of assume, oh, this is probably their friends reviewing it. So is it a good idea, if you have a friend who is like a librarian, for example, or a teacher or someone like that, and you ask them to do a review, and you actually, are they able to put with their name that they are a teacher or a librarian? Would that give the review a little more credibility to the average person reading it? And if they can't put that in their sort of tag with the review, would it be good for them to work that into the review? You know, as a second grade teacher, I think this book would work great for my students, that sort of thing.
Well, I think fortunately and unfortunately, people can put really anything that they want in the review. So this can obviously work for you or against you. Because unfortunately there are people out there, they don't realize how much hard work you put into a project, and they could instantly say something to turn other people off. And unfortunately that happens a lot. One thing to do to kind of, get away from that is just to try to get more positive reviews or take the feedback to heart and make some changes to your book. So that's kind of like a side note. But anything that the person, you know, obviously if the person puts, you know, 5 stars and says, this is an amazing book, everybody should buy it, that's a little obvious, right? Like, that's definitely your mom talking. But a well-structured review, even if you write the review, the writer, say, hey, you know, I'll do you a favor and give you the review to post, you know, that's not a bad strategy to do either. Just to get started, you know, just to get those, that social proof in order before you start marketing.
Mm-hmm. And does the number of stars that your book has, does that help with your ranking on Amazon, or is it strictly the amount of sales that you have that affects the ranking?
I really think it's the amount of sales that the stars can affect the sales, of course. But, you know, I mean, like I was looking at J.K. Rowling's book that she came out with after the Harry Potter book, and that book did not get very good reviews. I think it has like a 3-star rating on average. But it sells, and it sells a lot based on the strength of her name. So,
sure.
You know, basically the way Amazon's algorithm works is...
Okay, I hope that helps you a little bit if you're looking for book reviews on Amazon. Whether your book is through a traditional publisher, or you self-published, these are great getting reviews, book reviews for your material on Amazon.com, Barnes and Nobles, and elsewhere. Okay, I'm always going to have something like that on the show for the people who call into the show, because I get a lot of authors into the show, I get a lot of writers into the show, and we're all of one mind. We all need some reviews because we all brothers and sisters in the word, and we should be looking out for each other. All right. So getting back to Clinton, Hillary Clinton, she is no doubt an Obama third term. She is no doubt a third term for Obama. And folks, I am not looking for a third term for Obama. Obama's had two chances. To me, he has yet to get it right. He has yet to get it right. Some people saying he's a great president. Some people saying he should have a holiday. No way. There are so many people out there that are critical of President Obama, it will make your head spin, especially African Americans. Because most African Americans, even some white folks, believe that Obama has done nothing for African Americans, and African Americans put him in the White House. It was African Americans who put him in the White House. And now Clinton is is cozying up to Obama to try and get black votes. I believe that, and Bernie Sanders believed that. And she is. She's cozying up to Obama to get black votes, at the same time attacking Bernie Sanders. And I do not want a third term of Hillary Clinton. I just don't want it, a third term of Obama. It's not right. Obama, once he's out of the office, once he's out of the White House in November 2016, January 2017, let's just bid goodbye. You know, I don't want a third term. So I'm saying to people, vote Bernie Sanders. If you vote Hillary Clinton, if you love Obama, you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, period. And a lot of people out there love Obama for some reasons I can't understand. Well, yeah, he's done some nice things. There's some things he's done. He bailed out the auto industry, bailed out the banks. I mean, the economy was tanking under George Bush, and virtually Obama came in and saved it. But what I'm saying here is he's done nothing to Americans. Even Obama has admitted himself that he wished he could have done more. And I don't see how he could not have done more. He's the president of the United States. He certainly can't do much supporting the TPP, a trade bill, a deal that's going to take away American jobs. And I haven't even started talking about robots yet. As you know, folks, there's no guest on the show today. At least I don't think so. I mean, I'm booking so many people, and sometimes I need a break. You know, I want my son to help me, but he's busy doing his own thing. So it's just going to be me and you today. Okay, let's get back to Obama's third term, which is Hillary Clinton. I do not want that. Obviously, there's no doubt about it. I do believe Obama's going to go out as a great president. I don't think he's going to go out as a good president, a great president. But if you want to talk to the Republicans, he's going to go out one of the worst presidents there has ever been in the United States. But there's no way he's a great president. But he's going to go out that way. He's done some things, but he hasn't done enough. And when he's backing, I mean, I remember Obama's first term, and you probably too. Obama, basically all he did in his first term was get shellacked by the Republicans. He went into office being naive that they were going to be friendly, nice, accepting, compromising. I think he spent his entire 4 years, and there, in some cases during his first term, some of us thought he had turned Republican. Yeah. I mean, if you want to go back, research it and find out. If you were there, you probably know a lot. Even some of the Democrats was saying, whoa, what happened to Obama? In his second term, he kind of came to light and realized that the Republicans weren't going to work with him, that he had to get things done. Even now, Obama's saying things like compromise. You know, I think he can fill this Supreme Court vacancy, but he wants the Republicans to be in on it. And they said, no, they're not going to vote on this. And folks, I'm telling you, we may not have a Supreme Court nominee. The court just may be an eight-man court going into 2016 and 2017. And I'm hoping Obama would nominate somebody to be that, and I'm hoping that he'll place them there. He doesn't need their input all the time. He has executive authority. He can do that. But Obama, this is one guy who hates using his executive authority. It's too easy for him. He wants to bring along the Republicans, but they do not want to work with him. They are the obstructionists. They're racist. They're old men with big wallets. And they think he's a farce. Personally, I wish Obama could have been a better president than he turned out to be. You may not agree with me on that, but that's just my opinion. From what I see, I've been following Obama, so I'm not making this up. People have their own opinions of him. They have their own way of judging people, and I'm not judging him. I'm just not that too enthused about him. I'm not on his bandwagon, on the Obama bandwagon. I don't see how I can ever get on that. I can just wish him well once he's out of the office and hope the other president who takes office will do a much better job. Will we ever see another African-American president in the White House after Obama leaves? I don't think in my lifetime. I don't think it's going to happen. Not in my lifetime, especially in my lifetime. It could happen. I don't know, but I don't think. Then again, it may never happen. Black people, African-Americans are really skeptical of a black person in the White House after President Obama. And that shouldn't be, probably, but some people are. And it's not right. Okay, so you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We're going to be doing a segment on 10 tips to sell books. Here we go. Oh, shit.
Hey, everybody, this is Lisa Orell, the Promote You Guru. You can learn more about me by reading my little bio right down there somewhere on my channel page. You'll have to forgive me for the casualness of my attire, no makeup, no hair done, just a ponytail and a visor, because it is a very warm, hot, sunny day here in San Jose, California. And after I'm done with this short how-to video, I am going in the backyard, jumping in the pool, and firing up the barbecue. So that's just the way I'm rolling today. Here we go. 10 tips on how you can sell your book or sell more of your books on Amazon, whether you're a self-published author or whether you're a traditionally published author. Doesn't matter. As long as your book's on Amazon, these tips will help you, okay? Some of these tips I did glean from a great book that I highly recommend, written by Brent Sampson. And there you go. Let me get over here a little bit more. How to sell more books on Amazon. I highly recommend picking that up. The tips I'm going to go through, the 10 tips are going to be very quickly. I'm not going to give you the ins and outs of the hows and whys. That's why something like Brent's book was created. He gives you all those details, or you can just research them on your own. But I'm just going to make you aware of a couple of these things so that you can potentially implement them and go for it. And I will tell you that quite a few of these tips I have shared with my author clients who I help handle the PR, publicity, and marketing strategies for, and they have found a definite uptick in their book sales. And I personally, with the books I've written, have seen them as well. So they work. Okay, let's go. Tip number one, start an Amazon Connect account. Again, look into Amazon and check out the Amazon Connect account feature. Number two, definitely create an author profile page. Okay, again, a lot of people just go and put their book on Amazon to sell it, and they don't use the other bells and whistles that Amazon has to offer. Again, one of them being the author profile page. Make sure you set one up for yourself. On your author profile page, make sure that you upload a professional photo, and in the caption under that photo, you can state your name, your title, your book title, links to your website, all that fun stuff, your contact info, as well as set up your email signature for any postings that you do within Amazon. Like if you write a book review for someone else, it will show up, and that helps cross-promote you. Okay? Number four, tip number four. Complete the About Me info on the author profile page. The reason for that is that you get to load it with a bunch of keywords and phrases that show up in search results, okay? Kind of like having a LinkedIn profile. The more information you put on your profile, the better the chances are that you and your book are going to get found. Number five, Amazon offers a feature called the So You'd Like To Guides. Again, they're called the So You'd Like To Guides. They're like little mini ebooks. You can write those on basic topics in and around your expertise and your book. They will help drive traffic to your book page on Amazon. Number six, make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature that Amazon offers. That enables people to look at your table of contents, perhaps read your intro, and maybe even see a sample of one of your chapters. So make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature. It's very, very powerful tool, okay? Number seven, I want you to check out Amapedia. It's like Wikipedia, but it's Amapedia, and that is Amazon's internal wiki. So you can start your own posts and topics about things around your book and topics of your area of expertise and show up in the Amapedia, A-M-A-P-E-D-I-A, right? Again, like Wikipedia, and that will help drive traffic to your book page as well, okay? Number eight, tip number eight, is write as many book reviews for other people as you can, and especially make sure that you do them for your competitors, anybody who's written a book that's similar to yours. And I'm not saying go on there and trash them and write a bad review, even if their book was great. This is not about going in and sabotaging your competition. It's every time you write a book review for someone, your name, your book title, a link to your book page, and your basically like e-signature will show up with information about you. Keeping in mind one important thing, if someone was interested enough to go to their book page and potentially buy their book, it means they're interested in the same topic matter that you wrote about. So write as many book reviews as you possibly can, and possibly they will turn around and do the same thing for you. It also helps with traffic building, okay? Number nine, use the Tag This Product feature on your book's detail page. Again, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of all this stuff, but make sure you look into the Tag This Product feature, okay? Last one, number 10, look into Amazon's List Mania feature. It's where you can create lists of books that you like and always including your book in there at some point. I won't go into all the details about it, but again, look into the List Mania feature because it will help drive traffic to your book page and could potentially get a lot more buyers for you, and people will be looking at the books you list, and if you've listed them on your List Mania list, some of them might turn around and list you on their List Mania list, and it keeps going and going and going. So again, those are quick 10 tips on how you can potentially sell more of your books on Amazon. I hope you found them very, very helpful. I know that I have. So time for me to go jump in the pool and fire up the barbecue. Enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers, and happy marketing. Bye-bye.
All right. Electing a president without facts. In an election cycle, when the media can and does shape how we choose our next president, the fact we have fewer and fewer sources to look for credible information regarding those who are running. It's frightening. It is frightening. It's totally frightening. In this day and age, how do we elect a president we barely know anything about, someone who has never held office before, someone who is clearly not, someone who's clearly unfit for office? But you know, you got a lot of people out there voting for people like this. Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is totally ineligible to run for president of the United States simply because he was not born here. He was born in Canada. The only excuse he's giving is that his mother was a U.S. citizen. I don't buy that. The Constitution clearly states you have to be a natural-born citizen to run for the president, for president of the United States. And it's just phenomenal to where we have taken politics now. The Republicans are still steadfast on not voting on or not hearing or not bringing up the fact or not even looking at an Obama nominee to the Supreme Court. They are steadfast in that. They don't care what the people say. They don't care what their constituency say. The folks who put their asses in office, they don't care. It's what their party wants. It's all about the party, not the people. And I don't understand why people didn't get their asses out and vote to keep these people out. Maybe people are starting to come together now. Maybe they're starting to realize that these guys, and there are so many people, they do not like Mitch McConnell. This guy is about 90 years old. Why is he still in Congress? I mean, he is steadfast on not voting on a Obama nominee for the Supreme Court, even if it's one of his own. These people don't care. And then you have Carly Fiorina. She endorses Ted Cruz, the crazy lady. She used to be on the debate stage. She is so pissed that they threw her off. They threw her off because nobody wanted her. She had nobody wanted her. When I say nobody wanted her, America didn't want her, or they would have propelled her to the top. But they didn't want her because she was just a plain old liar and a mean-ass lady. But she endorses Ted Cruz. And I want to say to myself and to you folks out there, who cares who Carly Fiorina endorses? Who cares? She was a CEO of Hewlett-Packard and took that company under. So they fired her. So she decided she wanted to run for president. If you remember any of her debates, all she ever talked about was running against Hillary Clinton, that she was the best one to beat Hillary Clinton. And all she ever did was talked about and vilified Planned Parenthood for women. Oh, she's a hateful mongrel lady, you know. And I'm glad she's out. I'm glad she's out of the presidential race. I'm glad she will never, ever be anywhere near the White House. But she's pissed. I'm looking at a photograph of her on the internet, and she is pissed. She's pissed because they threw her off the debate stage. All right, more news. We will miss him. A personal appreciation to Sir George Martin. They call this guy the Fifth Beatle. He died today at the age of 90. He was big at crafting the Beatles style and the way they sang and the way they look and their appearance and all that kind of thing. So my hat's off to him because I am a big Beatle fan. However, I'm more of a John Lennon fan than I am the entire group. I think John Lennon was awesome. You know, he was more like Bob Dylan in a way. And they always sang about social causes. Now, Paul McCartney, no, I am not a big Paul McCartney fan because his music didn't touch me the way John Lennon music had touched me. John music was more social causes. Some of his music was on social causes and his own feelings. However, Paul McCartney sang love songs. He sang them, he wrote them. Even during his solo years, it was all love songs. Which are okay if you're into that kind of thing. But I was into mostly social consciousness type of songs. And John Lennon provided that. Just like Stevie Wonder did. Bob Dylan. Social conscience songs. Bruce Springsteen. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we don't have a guest today, as I am coming to think. But that's fine. That's okay. Because you miss the show here, you miss a lot. This is the talk of our times. This show is always trying to make the world a better place, you know, so we are having a good time here. Believe me, believe me. And let's see what else is in the news here. I want to talk some more about, okay, it says here, now a Democrat is holding up the Flint water bill. Now, why is he holding up the Flint water bill, a Democrat? You can't even trust Democrats you can't even trust Democrats to live up to their own democratic values. You can't even do that. I mean, they can't do that. This is why we're going to have to get rid of Ken Duncan, for one. And a lot of these, I just don't know. You just can't trust politicians. You want to say, do the right thing. But they don't do the right thing. Now, why is a Democrat holding up the Flint water bill? We're going to have to find that out, folks, and I'll bring it to you tomorrow or maybe even later on in the day. Okay, Rubio is saying, I embarrass my kids with attacks on Trump. Well, then that's his problem. That's his problem. You know, so this upcoming presidential election, it has been so interesting. I don't think I remember anything like this before in my life. And I have always been somewhat political. I mean, in college, I've majored in political science. But this is always interesting. This is always this takes the cake. Someone said Ronald Reagan wouldn't recognize today's Republicans. I don't think anybody would recognize. I don't even recognize them, even though I'm actually looking into it as I speak here. I think one of the things wrong with politics today, folks, is just money. Too much money in politics. Politicians are buying votes. They're buying politicians. I mean, you know, millionaires, billionaires are buying up. You know, they're buying votes. Corporations, lobbyists, it's too much money in politics. You take the money out of politics, you know, and then there's another reason. People don't vote. People have to vote. I think people are going to be energized and vetted to vote this November so we can get these Republicans out of office. Do not just vote for a Democratic president. Also vote for a Democratic congressman and a Democratic U.S. senator. If you're going to have a Democratic president, Bernie Sanders and what he's saying is good, it's great, but he will not get any of those done. None of those problems, none of those promises would be fulfilled if he has a Republican Congress. They're going to do the same thing they're doing at Obama, obstructing, being mean and nasty, lying, spinning. If we're going to have a Democratic president, and I'm hoping that we will, no Donald Trump, no way, no Ted Cruz, no John Kasich, Marco Rubio, maybe Hillary or Bernie. But if we do get a Democratic president in the White House, we have to give him, we also have to vote on folks people that they can work with. Hillary wins. If Hillary becomes president and there's a Republican Congress, she will never get anything done. They're going to be backbiting her. They're going to be always bringing up Benghazi. They're going to always bring up her emails. They're going to find a way to impeach her because of her emails. Republicans, there are put it this way, if there was something about those emails, especially if something negative, Hillary would have been arrested already. She'd have been indicted already. There's nothing there. Nothing there in terms of her emails. But the Republicans are going to ride this horse home. They are going to bang on this until, you know, until the cows come home. They don't care. They figure as long as they bang, hit Hillary over the head with Benghazi and these emails, that's going to take her poll numbers down, that's going to take her likability down, and that's going to cause one of them to be elected, a Republican. They are never going to let this go. They are never going to let these emails go. Hillary knows it. Bernie Sanders knows it. We know it. So this is what I'm saying, people. If you're going to put Hillary in office, give her some, give her a Congress she can work with. If you're going to put Bernie Sanders in office, give him a Congress that he can work with. Because if you don't, you put Hillary in office and she has a Republican Congress, nothing will get done. You put Bernie in the presidency with a Republican Congress, nothing will get done. Believe me, the Republicans are, they geared for it. I mean, they are geared up for a Republican president. I mean, a Democratic president, excuse me, a Democratic president. They are geared up for it, and they are talking in those back rooms where no one can see them. There's no cameras, and saying they're going to obstruct their asses off. Even if Donald Trump gets in, a Republican, if Donald Trump makes it to the Oval Office, the White House in 2016, they're going to obstruct him because he's Donald Trump, because they don't like him. They don't like him. I think if Donald Trump became president and he had a Republican Congress, I actually think they will obstruct him to keep him from doing things. But Donald Trump, just like Bruce Rauner, they are going to be using their executive powers to get things done. They're going to go over Congress. They're going to go past Congress because they have those executive powers that they can use. They can just write stuff in with a pen and do it. So I think that's what Donald Trump is talking about when he's saying building a wall. I think he's backtracking a little bit on that. You know, so then again, who knows? People backtrack, but Donald Trump has been known to backtrack, apologize, say he won't, and then go, then turn around and do whatever he said he wasn't going to do. He does it again. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we're talking just about anything goes on this show. We're talking about anything that goes. All right, okay. Here's one thing Congress can do to mess up Donald Trump. It is safe to say that there's a lot of love for Trump on Capitol Hill. I would probably say it's safe to say there is not a lot of love for Donald Trump on Capitol Hill. Even Donald Trump knows that. He knows they don't like him. But if I told you that these lawmakers can do something right now to give an outlet to their Trump empathy and make the world a better place to boot, I can think of one thing they can do: pass a federal law protecting people from lawsuits against public participation, more known as the SLAPP suit. What is a SLAPP suit? Basically, it's a law designed to chill the free expression. In which a deep pocket a deep-pocketed litigator sues their critics, knowing that the mere process of having to participate in a court battle could financially exhaust the defendant. Such lawsuits favor the large corporations and wealthy plaintiffs, even when their cases are entirely frivolous. And Donald Trump, he loves him some slaps, whatever that is. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Stay with me. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I'm a social media clown. Okay, it says right here, it says, for weeks, senators have said they are close to a deal on legislation to help Flint, Michigan, recover from the poisoning of its water supply. But on Wednesday, another lawmaker threw a wrench in the negotiations. Senator Bill Nelson from Florida, Democrat from Florida, put a hold on the agreement just as Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, Democrat, appeared close to putting out a flame with the Republican Senator Mike Lee over legislation. Now, why would this guy interrupt this? These people are dying from this poison water in Flint, Michigan, and we have a Democrat who is stopping the progress of making this thing right. It doesn't make sense. Nelson doesn't have a problem with the underlying bill, which makes money available to cities like Flint coping with the decaying water infrastructure, or with separate piece of energy legislation tied to the Flint bill. But he is wary of offshore drilling amendment that Senator Bill Cassidy, Republican, wants to attach to the energy bill. Okay, so he's pissed off that somebody wants to attach something to it. A Republican wants to. Republicans always want to attach something to a Democratic bill. And a lot of the things that they want to attach to a bill, the Democrats, you know, they are opposed to it. So nothing gets done because of that. You know, so this is the reason why. Okay. Senator Nelson supports the energy bill and all the money for Flint, but the Republicans insist it would start the process of drilling offshore Florida coast. Nelson spokesman Ryan Brown said in an email, quote, after 4 decades of protecting Florida's beaches and military training areas in the Gulf, Senator Nelson isn't going to stop now. And I hope that's good news. I hope that's good news because, you know, the Republicans are always attaching something to a bill that causes someone else to think twice and rethink that bill. And people get hurt because of it. They get hurt because of it. Do you know now in Chicago and elsewhere, homelessness is just through the roof? Homelessness is just through the roof, especially here in Illinois, because of all the funding cuts, the funding. There's no budget. Illinois, it's going into its ninth month without a budget. People in some of these agencies are up in it. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their livelihood. Money's been cut from every program you can think of. And as I was saying in the show yesterday, if Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, if Bruce Rauner can't have his way, if he can't get what he wants when he wants it, he's going to try and destroy it. You know, that's what he's doing. And he's blaming other people. People are, and this is upending people. The high taxes that are in the city of Chicago, the taxes are so high and the state wants to go up on taxes on top of the city tax. You're pricing people out into the streets. They're just sitting and letting these things happen. If there's any mismanagement around here, it's politicians who are doing the mismanaging. Some of these people don't have the inkling skill of how to manage, and people are suffering by this. Bruce Rauner, instead of bringing the state together, he's taking this state down, and he doesn't give a damn. Because if they don't give him what he wants and how he wants it and when he wants it, he's going to take it down. He's using his executive powers to take this state down, and he doesn't give a damn. As he take it down, he's blaming the Democrats, and he's the culprit. As Bruce Rauner take this state down, he's blaming every damn body there is. You know why he's doing that? Because he wants Chicago is a Democratic town. He wants to buy up the schools. He wants to buy this up. He wants to control that. He wants to control this. Bruce Rauner, the Democrats are not going to give up their values for you. You're more likely working for them than they are working for you. You have to compromise. Bruce Rauner has pissed so many people off. He's pissed off the legislature, and they steadfast in their values. They're not going to let this guy come in and do it. Bruce Rauner is not doing his job. He's not doing his job, and he's trying to get people to believe that the legislature is not letting him do his job. That's crazy. we've had two or three of the best newspapers in this town go against Bruce Rauner. There's been other Republican presidents who don't like, who do not like what Bruce Rauner is doing or trying to do. He's trying to break this state. That's what he wants, and he's breaking it. People have lost their jobs. They're unemployment. They're unemployed. 7,000 kids don't even have daycare. Agencies are closing. Colleges and universities aren't getting the funding that they usually get to keep the doors open. Students, their education is being put on hold, or they have to go somewhere else, or maybe they just drop out altogether. And these people are standing by watching this happen. They're watching this happen. Bruce Rauner going to say, well, yeah, that's the fault of Mike Madigan and the Democrats. Bruce, that's your fault. Mike Madigan and the Democrats, they've submitted tons of bills for you to sign that you didn't sign. Just like I just got through saying, folks, the reason why he's bashing the Democrats, the reason why he's blaming the Democrats for something that's not their own, is because he wants the people of Illinois to believe that. He wants the people of Illinois to believe that the Democratic legislature is just awful. The Democratic legislature, they're not letting him do his job. The Democratic legislature, they don't care. This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get people of Illinois to believe that. So if people of Illinois believe that, when come election time, they're going to vote out all the Democrats and put a lot of the Republicans in. So that means the Republicans have the state. Bruce Rauner is trying to use his money, is using his money to buy off politicians. He's using his money to buy seats in the Illinois legislature for other Republicans. See, we know what he's doing. The legislature in Illinois knows what he's doing. Some of the people out here, we know what he's doing. Bruce Rauner has to be naive to think that we don't know what the hell he's doing or what he's trying to do. But he's a billionaire. Just like any other billionaire, Republican billionaire, they're buying up votes. They're buying politicians like Ken Duncan. They're buying these guys, you know, to go against his constituency coat and vote with him instead of voting the way his constituency voted him in to do, gave him his job to do. He's not doing his job. And yet he's on television, on PBS, trying to defend that. How can you defend going against your own constituency, the people who gave you your job? How can you defend that? All you got to do is vote for the right side. How can you defend that? So I hope come March 15 that they vote this guy out. I'm kind of dismayed that I couldn't vote because I'm not in their district, so I can't vote for him or against him. I would probably vote against him, but I'm not in that district, so I hope the people in the district vote him out. And like I said, just got through saying a minute ago, this will set a precedent for other Democrats who thinking about voting with the other side. You break ranks, you're going to lose your job, period. Totally, period. And if there's someone else in the House of Representatives in Illinois who is breaking ranks and voting with Bruce Rauner, we're going to vote him out or her out. We're tired of politicians not listening to us. We are tired of politicians not hearing us. We're tired of politicians just belittling the people, especially when we put them in office. We're tired of them belittling us. We're tired of them not listening to us. We're tired of them not hearing us. We're tired of them blowing us off, especially once after they've gotten in office, once they're elected. We're tired of them blowing smoke at us. We're tired of them, you know, figuring everything that everything that comes out of their mouth that we should take it and believe it, that ain't going to happen. So I'm thinking coming March 15th, which is an election day in Chicago, it's a Tuesday, Ken Duncan would be out of a job. A vote against Kim Duncan is a vote against Governor Bruce Rauner. That's no doubt about that, because Rauner is funding his campaign. So people out there in Illinois, vote against Ken Duncan. Get his turncoat ass out of there. That will be a blow to Bruce Rauner. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm having a great time here, folks. Thank you for hanging in there with me. As you can see, there's no guest on the show today, so maybe tomorrow. Stick in there. We'll have someone tomorrow. And this is a great time, a great day. I'm having a lot of fun. Stay with me, folks. I will be right back and see what we got here. All right, we're going down here. Let's see. All right. Right back. Thank you for being here. Thanks. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. All right, we're back. We're just about off the air, folks, and I want to say one thing. Vote, vote, vote. Illinois, vote. Americans, vote. If we don't vote, we are disappointing those who have died. You've heard the song and dance before. Basically, vote, people. Be energized. The Republicans are energized. We have to get independents, progressives, and liberals energized also, or we're going to lose this thing. We are going to lose this thing. We don't want to lose this thing. All right, you're listening to George. Okay, someone just whispered in my ear. You have 90 seconds on the show. I guess that's it. I mean, I'm going to be on tomorrow, so make sure you join me tomorrow at the same time, starting at 6 p.m. Chicago time, Central Standard Time. And this is Block Talk Radio, and I will see you guys. Well, hopefully you'll be here tomorrow. I will have a guest tomorrow, so tune in for that. Goodbye. Talk to you soon.